Wasn't that beautiful?
Yes, it was.
Well, I thought I was actually going to be with the junior church today, so you'll have to forgive me. I had all my flannel graph material ready to go, and I guess we'll have to put that to the side. So, but no, we are very excited. Marcy and I are very excited to be here with you this morning and get to share the next three Sundays with you all. Looking forward to it. I am a camp guy, so we're going to have to do some camp-type things. So if I can have everybody just stand up, if you are able, go ahead and stand up. And go ahead and take a seat, but only if this is true about you. Only sit down if you did not take a shower this morning. Yeah, there go some people. Great. Everyone else just scoot way away from them. See, when I do that for the junior hires, most of them sit down right there. I usually have to get them to all stand back up again. Now, sit down if you already bought everyone's Christmas present on your list. You got it taken care of well beforehand. Wow. Very nice. I'm impressed. Sit down if you have ever been referred to as the Grinch for Christmas time. Anybody? Oh, a couple there. Sit down if you have ever personally tasted dog food. You people are gross. Sit down if you are in love. There you go. Sit down if you wish you were in love. There you go. There's two of you left, all right? Peer pressure, it'll get you every time. I think that took care of everybody. Like I said, Marcy and I are very excited to be here with you. Want to give you a little insight of some things just going on at the Wilds of New England. How many of you actually have been on the property before? Raise your hand. Cool, most of you, that's fantastic. Well, right now, as you go into the campsite, if you remember that first building you go to on your right-hand side, that was kind of all gutted this summer. We're actually redoing that now. Where the old steep stairway was is now a brand new staircase there. We're getting ready to drywall the entire thing and get it insulated and things like that. We just finished up running the electrical and have everything, the internet and all that infrastructure type thing finished. So we're looking forward to having that. What'll be in there is the new Welcome Center, also a bookstore, and then Rand's office and my office upstairs, as well as a sponsor lounge with coffee, and then a library that we will be starting in the top section there as well. This coming fall, we haven't had the brochures come out yet, but ladies, instead of just one ladies' retreat, we're actually going to do two ladies' retreats. Okay, so we were packed out beyond what we could hold this last one, so we're going to split that up into two, and we know that's going to be a blessing for you. Men, we're going to have a men's conference again, and then a college and career retreat for those of you who would fall into that. And Willie Parton is actually coming from North Carolina and will be speaking for that. He does a fantastic job. And couples, for the first time for the Wilds of New England, we will be having a couples retreat. Now, here's the deal. What we do is we have a shuttle service. We've lined up a hotel in Manchester so you can get away, have a little mini vacation. You'll stay in a hotel in Manchester, and then we shuttle you in to the Wilds of New England then from there. Okay, so it's an exciting time. We do have Jim Berg coming for that, so that's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. And as soon as you see those brochures come out, make sure you get signed up. That's the biggest thing. I know we had to turn a lot of ladies away for our ladies conference that we had this past year. They fill up very quickly. We are limited on space, and we want as many people to enjoy those things as they can. Well, I'm going to give you a little insight on myself. This is my second year with the Wilds in general, with the Wilds of New England. This is my first year with them. I came to the Wilds in 2006 on summer staff. It was the first time I had ever set foot back onto the site since 1998. I only went to the Wilds once, and I got saved there. And so that put a special burden in my heart for that place and also for those who come to the Wilds. I got saved there and really didn't have a lot of great godly counsel as I grew up, went through the public school system. I lived the life of a public school kid. Was supposed to go play football for college due to an injury that was taken away from me. I really didn't know what to do, and through the counsel of others and through my family, I actually took a mission trip and went away. Didn't want to go to college right away, so I went away for a semester and went to South Africa. And during my time there, I got to the point about a month in when the missionary was starting to ask me to preach in front of people and do Bible studies for teens, and I knew my life was not at all a reflection of what someone who I thought could get up in front of people and speak to them. And when I realized that, hey, I could have some great opportunities and realized that God could actually use me, that's when my heart was humbled and I realized how much I had wasted my life and realized how much I needed to be on fire for the things that actually mattered. So I actually went online, on Google, and searched. I thought, well, maybe I could play football somewhere. So I Googled Christian schools with football. I got TCU and Maranatha Baptist Bible College. So I knew I didn't want to go to a D1 school, so I ended up at Maranatha, never setting foot onto a college campus really before, and went through that. And then Rand came to me after I had started working through the wilds and said, hey, what do you think about New England? I said, sure. I have no other reason. So Marcy and I got married in August, and we moved up here the first week of September, and we are adjusting well to the New England life. This will be her first snow once we decide to actually have one here. She is originally from Atlanta, Georgia. She has never driven in snow, so pray for everyone around her. No, we're hoping that the first snow lands on a weekend, so I can actually take her out, get her on the parking lot, and teach her how to drive, and pull the e-brake on her in the middle of it and get used to this spinning. So that's a little bit about me and how I came to the wilds and what we're all about, and looking forward to this summer and gearing up for that. If you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2, for the next three Sundays, I've entitled kind of the three-week series as A Deeper Christmas. And today we're going to focus in on the wise men. What I'd like to do is for the next three Sundays really take whether it be a character or a place in our Christmas story that we're very familiar with and maybe expound and look deeper into what these different characters, who they are, what these places really mean, maybe some insight on things that I know as I've studied it out, things I really missed, didn't understand clearly, or just thought I knew because I've heard the Christmas story so many times. Life at this time of year is very, very busy. And we all know that. We got parties planned. We got activities going on. We have plays. The kids are doing this type of concert. And we have family coming. We have lots of preparations. So what is this Christmas time for? From really Thanksgiving through December 25th, what is it really about? What are we preparing for? If I listen to Hallmark and all the Hallmark movies, it means that it's all about giving. Christmas is about what I give to others and that feeling I get when I give. And that's a great feeling, but is that really what Christmas is about? If I listen to my TV commercials, I need that new laptop, the new digital camera, or that new Crayola crayon mixer, which if you haven't seen that commercial, you need to look it up. That thing looks cool. Now, without people who receive gifts, you can't have anyone who gives gifts. So I don't mind being the receiver of gifts anytime. So if you have any gifts you'd love to give me, feel free. Okay? But if I read my Bible, what does it say about this time of year? Does it say anything about December 25th? Does it say anything about Christmas? Does it say anything about how we should respond to what goes on around us? The world says what Christmas is. How do I respond to that? And today I want to look at the wise men. Wise men were looking for Jesus Christ. They were looking for God, who would become man, to save mankind. They're a great example for us. My prayer is that as we look in here, that we really see what the Christmas season is about and how I can prepare what Christmas is supposed to be. The Son of God has arrived, and we should be overflowing with joyful worship because Jesus made it possible to meet with our Father, the Creator of the earth. So before we dive in, let's just pray real quick, and then we'll look into Matthew 2. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love, your guidance. Lord, and for this time of year, when we do set aside a lot of time just to think about birth of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ.
who came, who lived a perfect life, who gave us example after example. I pray, Lord, that we will not take the sacrifice your Son made on the cross for granted, but that we realize the importance of it and realize that we would all be lost and condemned and living without purpose without it. We love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the clarity of it. And I pray that this morning will be no different, that we will understand your word clearly and be able to apply it practically. We love you. Thank you for the many blessings you've provided us with. And we look forward to the season ahead. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Matthew 2, 1 through 11, I'm going to touch on the wise men today. These men were referred to as magi. A lot of times we do hear them referred to as magi. They're devoted to things such as astrology, to prophecy, and the interpretation of dreams. Most likely, these wise men were from Persia or Arabia, that area. Some say even farther east. Not totally sure on that. But the gifts that the wise men brought, we know them, frankincense, gold, and myrrh. Now, these weren't things that the wise men brought just for Mary and Joseph to sit up on their mantle and look at and go, oh, those are great gifts. No, at this time, these were some of the most precious, most sought-after, most expensive things that you could find. They were marketable items, meaning that really the purpose most likely behind the wise men giving these three gifts was not for them just to look at them and say, oh, this is nice, but actually to be able to sell them on the market and to be able to receive money for that and use it for the needs that arose for them. Because they knew Mary and Joseph were going to be on the road, they knew they were going to be traveling, and they were wanting to meet their need on a monetary level. These men came with a purpose. They didn't travel over 500, 600, 700 miles just to see a child. They didn't come just to hold the child, congratulate mom and dad, and be on their way. No, they knew something was more about this child. Verses 1 and 2 says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born, king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. First thing that I want us to see is the wise men came pursuing. They came pursuing worship for the king. They were looking for him. They were expecting a star to be shown. They knew the prophecy. They knew what the star meant. And they came with a purpose to pursue worship. Worship means to show great respect to a being or thing that we think is worthy of it. It's an act of recognizing superiority. We have to think to ourselves, is Jesus worthy? I think all of us who are saved would say, yes. He is our salvation. He came. He lived a perfect life. He gave us example after example of what it meant to live the Christian life. He died, but not only that, he rose again, defeated death. And in that is salvation. In that is the gospel message that says, put your trust and faith in me. I am the Son of God. I came, I lived, I died, I rose again. And the wise men knew, because of the prophecy that they had read and studied, and they were coming pursuing the Savior. They weren't pursuing a child. They weren't pursuing mom and dad to pat them on the back and congratulate them. No, they were pursuing the Savior. The goal of the wise men was to find the King of Kings, the King of the Jews, and give him the reverence he deserved. Today, a lot of people really expect God to meet them. Our attitude, and mine can get this way many times, where I say, God, show me what you want. Tell me what to do. Direct me. What should I do? I want God to come to me. And in reality, sometimes, man, we need to be pushing and going after God. We expect God to meet us, to explain himself, to prove himself to us, and to give us gifts. This time of year, Santa Claus, which most everybody knows of, Santa Claus, honestly, is the best example of what God is not. Let me say that again so I'm clear. Santa Claus is the perfect example of what God is not. Why did I say that? Well, yes, God knows what you've been doing when you've been sleeping, when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. God's not sitting up on His throne handing out gifts and gifts and gifts and gifts to our every cry, to our every need, to our every desire, to our every want. He's not just standing handing out gifts. And that's where the whole Santa concept breaks down. Well, it really sounds good. God is not our Santa Claus. We're not sitting on His lap in prayer, begging Him to give us what we think we need or even want. He's much more than that. We should seek and worship God, not for what we can get out of it, but for who He is. He is our salvation. And that's one of the biggest themes I want us to realize through the whole Christmas season is He is our salvation. Salvation. Without it, where would we be? We'd have no hope. What would be our goal in life? Whatever this world has to offer. Your career, your kids, your money, a lifestyle you're trying to pursue. Without salvation, without Christ, what are we doing? See, because of this time of year, we're able to focus in on Jesus Christ and realize we have everything in our salvation. We have everything because of Jesus Christ. What are we going after? I work with teens a lot, from junior age all the way through high school. What are we teaching the next generation? I know my home, the way it was is, man, when Christmas time came around, it was almost dreadful at times. We lived very close to all our family, all the relatives. And any time we got together, there was always somebody mad at somebody else. So we're preparing for a party I'm not really looking forward to. We're involved in activities that just, man, it was just busy, busy, busy. We're in plays, we're in activities, we're preparing for a party, preparing for family to come over, all this different preparation. We get to Christmas Day, and as many families do that are Christians, they sit down before they open their gifts, and they read the Christmas story. Now, hear me out. That was one of my favorite memories, was reading the Christmas story, because I was reminded of the reason for the season. But here's the thing. We spent the last month going nuts about the parties, going nuts about the gifts, going nuts about the shopping. And the only time we really seriously focused in on God was that 5 minutes when we opened the Bible and read the Christmas story. While we're all sitting there, anxious, looking and seeing, wanting to know what's underneath the tree. If we do that with the next generation we're raising, that we're teaching, no wonder they don't see the importance of God in everyday life. Because what we're showing when all we do is interject God into those few moments, we've missed out teaching and showing our testimony to those around us of what this season is truly about. Christmas is not about me. It's not really even about giving. It's about me saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for bringing salvation. And the wise men, they knew the importance of Jesus Christ. They knew the importance of this child. They knew the prophecy was showing that they needed to go after and worship and show reverence to this child. Second thing we see from the wise men is that they prepared for this worship. They didn't go out on a whim. They'd spent years and years and years studying the manuscripts they had, the scripture they had of the time. They were looking expectantly for Jesus Christ. They didn't just one day walk outside, see a bright star and go, wonder what that is, and then begin studying out. And it even says later in the passage that when they saw the star, they were exceedingly glad. They were joyful. They knew that they were probably just days away from being able to see the Christ child, the one who was going to save the world. There was reverence in their expectation. As I said a little bit before, Jesus was not just a child. They showed their reverence when they saw Jesus. They didn't go in and pick up the child and look at him and we're all excited. No, they fell down on their faces and worshipped him. I got thinking kind of the practical side of this. If we put ourselves right now and we knew that Christ was coming and we went to this child, it's estimated that Jesus was probably 1 to 2 years old at this point when the wise men actually came to him. Marcy and I work once a month with 3-year-olds. So I'm thinking, okay, Jesus was, you know, a little bit younger than these kids. I can't imagine going to a 2 or 3-year-old and bowing down before him. I mean, you think of how most 2-year-olds act? No. But the wise men knew that this child was something more than just a child. He was Jesus Christ. Sometimes we get in our minds when we see the little nativity scene or we see a Christmas play about you know, the nativity and things like that. We see the baby and our hearts are warmed. But are we really realizing what that child represents? One of the practical applications I have is put up a nativity scene in your home to remind you of who the Savior was so you can be thankful for Him. But you can't be thankful for Him if you don't realize that Jesus was more than a baby. He was more than a child. He was our Savior. And as I've been saying over again, and really the theme that you see from the wise men, is they got it. They knew who Jesus was. Giving was also associated with their worship. They were prepared. They didn't stop at the local dollar store really quick and pick something up and give it to Mary and Joseph. No, they prepared ahead of time. Like I said, the 3 gifts were a marketable item so that they could go sell it and use the funds that they received from that to meet their needs. So they prepared. They knew what Mary and Joseph could use to help raise Christ. But the giving was not the only thing. Like I said at the beginning, Hallmark wants to teach me that I should just give, 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 give. And it brings a warm, happy feeling. And it does. I love being able to be able to write somebody a check when they're in need. I love being able to give a gift. We're doing a thing with an outreach ministry right now. We're giving gifts to an inner city kid. And it's exciting to go pick out a gift for a kid, something, a toy, and then also something he can practically use. And it is a good feeling to be able to do that for someone. But the wise men didn't just give. The giving came after they had already proved that their focus was on the worship of their great God. The giving was a response to what they had already believed. They fell down on their faces to worship God and then gave out of the abundance of their hearts. And it wasn't just the giving. It was proving their loyalty, proving their love. Giving was not just the single thing they came to do. They wanted to see the Savior. They wanted to see the Christ child, the one who would save the world. So the first thing that we saw is that they were pursuing worship. They wanted to see the Christ child, but they also prepared for it. They didn't just show up. Maybe there's someone here today and you haven't taken the first step in preparing for worship. See, Jesus came, and as I said before, Jesus came. He lived a perfect life. He gave us example after example of how we should live as Christians. And He died. He took a punishment that He didn't deserve. He died in place of someone who actually deserved to die. And He died in front of very little friends, very little family. His friends abandoned Him. In all seriousness, He died alone. But that wasn't it. We all know very clearly, 3 days later, he rose again. And that's where we should get excited. Because our Savior didn't just die. The cross wasn't the end. It was the door to what salvation really meant. He said, I love you so much, not even death will stop me from giving you salvation. And that's the gospel. Putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ who took the punishment that we really did deserve, because our God, while He is loving, He is just. I preached a couple weeks ago at an all-nighter. First time I preached at 1 o'clock in the morning. It's interesting. There were a bunch of teens there. A lot of them were inner-city type kids. And I explained to them, I said, a lot of people see God as someone who's this cruel judge sitting on a throne. I said, a lot of people want to see God as this loving Father who just takes in everybody. So there's a balance. If you were to go home today, you had a message and realized that someone in your family was brutally murdered, that would crush your heart. But even more so, if you went and a judge decided, hey, you know what, the person who did this, I know you did this, and that was wrong. That was not right of you. And you deserve to go to jail. You deserve to be put to death for it. But I'm a loving judge, so you're going to go on your way. As a family member, I'm going to go, that's not right. That's wrong. Well, Jesus knew that we deserved hell because of what we've done, because sin kept us from the gift of heaven. And Jesus took that punishment so that we could be with our Father. So that when we meet our Father someday, He can go, you were perfect. Not because of us, but because of Jesus Christ. Because His life was transferred to us. So the wise men, they give us a couple things to look at as we enter this Christmas season. So what can I do with this? When it's practically laid out, what do I do? This time of year, we need to live each day with Christ as our focus. Not just for 5 minutes when we read the Christmas story. Realize that we're teaching the next generation with three children, but we're also being a light, being a testimony, hopefully, in the community around us. The reality is, if Christ had not come, we would all be destined for hell. We would all be living condemned lives with no goal, no purpose, no focus, except for the things of this world, which many of us know are fleeting. It's kind of like the feeling you get when you lay down to go to sleep at the end of December 25th. It's like, whew, it's over. And some of you, you start your countdown all over again. But we hit the end of December 25th, and it's kind of like an empty feeling. Without Christ, that would be our lives. Practically, here are some things you can do along with all the fun things and activities that go along with this time of year. At your Christmas parties, maybe share salvation testimonies. I think you've seen the theme that I wanted to really push is that without Christ, we would have nothing. Share your testimonies of how Christ saved you. Take a moment to recognize and thank God for sending His Son to this earth to give us the best example for giving us salvation. Jesus Christ is everything to us. And hopefully we're showing that. I mentioned this earlier, but put out a nativity scene or a star. Something that helps remind you of the reason for the season. Helps remind you as you're preparing for the family, preparing for the parties, preparing for the plays and activities. So when you look at it, you thank God for the blessings He sent your way. This is one of the best times of year, too, to share the gospel. Christmas was for the believer. This holiday is meant for those who believe in Jesus Christ, so don't let others miss out on the truth of Christmas. Share the gospel. This is our holiday. It's not about the toys. It's not about the gimmicks. It's not about the new car with the bow on it. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about the gospel. We need to live lives like the wise men and be willing to share that with others. Be willing to get out there. And most of all, one of the most simple things we can do, and this has bugged me, I used to work in retail, and I remember when this changed, and it really bothered me. Say Merry Christmas. It's not a Happy Holidays, unless, I guess, you celebrate Hanukkah and Christmas and every other holiday at the same time. But Merry Christmas. As a believer, we should have no problem and no embarrassment in saying Merry Christmas when somebody says Happy Holidays to us. It's simple, but it's practical. We're not ashamed that it's Christmas time. Marcy and I went shopping right after Thanksgiving. We were one of those crazy people that went from like midnight till 8 in the morning. So, yes, I know. But one of the things, about 5 in the morning, we were buying some luggage. We did not own a set of luggage. And I remember she got the luggage. We were getting ready to pay for it. And the lady says, Happy Holidays. And Marcy responds, Happy Holidays. Like, who are you? She was like, I have no idea why I said that. Well, 5 in the morning, you can get carried away. But how many of us, we've gotten used to the Happy Holidays? I mean, it's all around us, but that's all we hear. And it's very easy just to flippantly say, oh yeah, Happy Holidays, Walmart greeter. Man, Merry Christmas. It's a simple thing. The wise men taught us two important things. They pursued Jesus because he is worthy of worship. Is he worthy of worship in your house? And are you showing it? My life is teens. Teens are hurting. Teens are broken. There's a lot of times where I try to explain who God is, and they come from a Christian home and don't really know what a relationship looks like because they're not seeing it in their home. That's the toughest battle we face. It's trying to show kids that, you know what, God the Father loves you. It's not like some of these kids are coming from abusive homes that their father hates them. They're coming from Christian homes and don't understand what a real personal relationship with Jesus Christ really looks like. We have a great opportunity this Christmas to show the next generation and show the people around us what Christmas is really about. Secondly, the second important thing that we saw from the wise men is that they prepared. Are we preparing for the parties and family more then we are reminding ourselves and those around us of Jesus Christ, the one who came to save the world? Jesus Christ is our all in all. He is everything. I love Christmas time. I love the activities. I love the festivities. We had a party last night with some friends, and it was a blast. But make sure we have the focus on Jesus Christ. Make sure we're preparing, not just for the festivities, but we're preparing to celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who made salvation possible so that we could have a relationship with the Father and Creator of this universe. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love. We are thankful for your Son. I pray that there be one here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, that use your Holy Spirit to work in their heart, that today will be the day of their salvation, that we can rejoice in adding and seeing another one added to your family. We praise you for this time of year when we are specifically brought together and really almost forced to focus on Christmas time and what it really means. And I pray that as the wise men that we will go pursuing you, that we will prepare with you in mind, and that we will worship you because of what you have given us. We didn't deserve salvation, Lord, but we are so thankful for it. We praise you for the work you've done in our lives, the example you've allowed us to be, and I pray that this season will be no different, that we go out in our communities, that we go out in our stores that we go to and with our families and the children, that we do not miss out on the opportunity to represent you well. We love you. Thank you for this time, the simple truths from your word. In Christ's name we pray.